Attention, listener. This is not a regular show. Here's the situation. My co-host, my wife, Rochelle, is put out on the couch. She has a bad toothache. But at the last moment, I had to call upon a friend of ours who's done the show a few times and asked him to step up. He has, and we recorded something over the last hour or so. I hope you like it, but if this is the first time ever listening to the show, just stop. Stop right now and go back a few episodes so you can kind of see what we're about. Because, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is not a regular show. I'm not saying that it's not going to be fun. I'm just saying that you might get a wrong impression if you listen to it and think, wow, this is a great show about two guys hanging out, talking about being in caves and Transformers and stuff. I would never get away with that on a regular show. So, if that's your thing, great. But don't think it's ever going to happen again. This is it. Enjoy it, okay? And Rochelle will be back in awesome shape the next time, probably with bionic teeth. And she can make diamonds out of coal. It will be fucking awesome. So, that being said, lay back, put your headphones on, enjoy the show. We'll see you on Sunday. It will be fun. Thanks. Hey, good evening. Welcome to Tip Tap Tip. My name is Eric.
Hey, my name's Joel.
Here's the thing. Rochelle is feeling a bit under the weather.
Yeah.
She had a tooth situation the other day. Basically, she needs to get a root canal. And she's been taking antibiotics for the last 2 weeks. And then she went in to get the root canal done. They said your tooth is still infected. Put a temporary cap on. And then gave her a prescription for Tylenol 3s and sent her along her way until she actually gets the thing done in about 2 or so weeks.
Dude, I literally just went through this.
You did?
Yeah. No, I just got a root canal last Tuesday. I have a temporary cap on my tooth.
Yeah, Rochelle has the exact same thing right now, the temporary cap. Yeah. Until so you have your root canal.
Yeah, no, mine's done now. Yeah, it just got filled, so now I'm just waiting to get the stainless steel cap.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like an emergency because it was I had sensitive teeth, and then all of a sudden overnight I couldn't sleep. I was just in severe pain, and I called the dentist the next morning. They're like, "Yeah, that's an infected tooth." Yeah, no, and it's funny because I was listening to an episode where Rochelle was talking about how she had to go get a root canal, and I was like, oh, poor thing. And then suddenly my thing happened. I just happened to get it done quicker.
Yeah.
You know, I feel your pain, Rochelle. I'm feeling it.
So, obviously, like, you'd heard me talk a lot over the last few weeks about the Eurovision Song Contest, and I know that I had mentioned last show that I just kind of lay it to rest, but I there's an even bigger event which is happening this weekend, and I think you have an idea what's going on.
I actually don't. Are you? I'm out of the loop, man.
Oh. Well, according to familyradio.org, which is a religious broadcast sort of the United States, the rapture is happening.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, no, I've already planned for the rapture.
Well, apparently...
Yeah, sorry, I thought you were talking about an imaginary thing. No, thank God you're talking about a real thing.
No, apparently Saturday, May 21st, 6 p.m. California time, the rapture is happening. So for those who have the golden ticket, fantastic. And for the rest of us schmucks, I guess we're going to have to tough it out for the next 6 months or so while the end of the world is happening. They've been putting up billboards and this and that across the state of California, and they're all gung-ho about this.
Judgment Day is near.
This is the message sent everywhere.
And we have to say it.
Shared in English, Korean, Spanish, French, and Japanese by radio and internet preacher Harold Camping.
The whole universe is going to be destroyed by fire.
Judgment Day, this Saturday, May 21st, Harold Camping created a formula based on Bible verses to calculate the day the world ends. His faithful followers took it from there, traveling the country, spreading the word, making stops in St. Pete and Tampa with a fiery prophecy.
There's going to be a worldwide earthquake, and what's going to happen is the graves are going to open, the dead in Christ are going to rise first.
All that this Saturday. A key issue here is that specific date, May 21st. There's something about it that plants either a seed of possibility or a seed of doubt, depending on your belief. Either way, it sent a few people to church.
Having gotten counsel from my own rabbi, I personally don't believe that the world is going to end on Saturday.
But it was enough for you to get counsel?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely, yes, because I do believe that we are in the end times.
I think the whole deal is kind of ridiculous.
I'm a little nervous, I have to say, because there's things I want to do past Saturday, you know?
Right. Do you think you'll get the chance?
Yes.
I think he really believes this.
Reverend Jim Harnish believes you can tell a lot about the future by looking at past doomsday prophecies.
Everybody throughout Christian history who has tried to set the time for the final coming of Christ have one thing in common. They've all been wrong.
My issue with religious zealots in general is, where do you stop? Like, when do you admit that you're wrong? You know, like, over and over and over again, it's not the end of the world. Where do you give up and go, you know what, maybe I should rethink this?
Well, actually, it's funny you should mention that, because the person who had made this particular prediction also made another prediction back in 1994, which, of course, was proven wrong. But this time, this is it. He swears this is, you know, because he had miscalculated the first time, but apparently this is...
What the fuck makes anybody think there's any math associated with this shit? There's no calculations to be made. It's like, you can't predict it. It's gonna fuck you, or it isn't.
Now,
if you're the quote-unquote holy, you'll be saved. You know, if you're not, then you'll burn in whatever. And if you don't believe in it, like this guy, nothing will fucking happen.
Now, like, a lot of news stations have been following this because, you know, it's a big day, and he's been putting up billboards and whatnot. Now, I would love for these news stations to do a follow-up story on the 22nd, the day after.
Oh, yeah.
Go, the whole rapture thing that you were going on and on about, and that you had your whole congregation, sell all their possessions and take all their money out of the bank and quit all their jobs about. Well, that didn't really pan out. So you're sorry?
Yeah, exactly. It's totally nonsense. Do you remember the Y2K people?
Oh,
really?
Yes.
Took that shit seriously, and they look like assholes afterwards.
Planes are falling out of the sky, computers are blowing up. It's like kind of like in Superman 3, where that computer comes alive and starts
totally
fucking shit up. But
yeah,
obviously that didn't happen.
But unlike Superman 3, Richard Pryor was already dead. So what are you gonna do, right?
I would have been fine. I would be fine for any rapture if it involved Richard Pryor still being around.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
no kidding. But you know what? It's funny because, like, there are some kind of kooky things that are possible.
Oh, yeah.
That could fuck up the world and could turn into a Revelations-esque scenario, one of which would be the end of oil. Another would be, like, the Earth's magnetic poles reversing. That would kind of fuck up
that
shit.
You know, that'd be a bit of a thing.
If the Earth stopped spinning, meteorites, giant-ass solar flares, which are Actually, there's a big one. I don't know if you've read about this.
What's this?
But there's a big solar flare, that is potentially going to hit the Earth in 2012. Now it's not a for sure, but if it does, it's gonna have a really intense effect on electromagnetism. Therefore, it can really fuck up electricity, essentially.
So so should I be planning my vacation for this or not for this? That's where I'm not.
I don't know. It's going to happen or it isn't. Whatever. You know, like, you're either fucked or you're not. This is my thinking. This is why the rapture thing never works. It's like, you can't plan for disaster. You can just be aware of it.
That's exactly. Like, when it finally does come, it'll come out of nowhere. We'll be like, wow, didn't see that one coming. And then, you know, obviously we'll be picking up the pieces and, you know, for me, it'll be a perfect excuse to start wearing a loincloth and carrying around a club again.
Well, yeah, no, and I was going to ask what your fallback profession, like, you and I are both computer, our jobs are highly dependent on a computer, right?
We're pointers and clickers, essentially.
Yeah, we're pixel pushers.
Yeah, exactly.
So what would you do if suddenly every computer stopped working tomorrow?
Like any sort of electronic device.
Every electronic device is done.
Well, I'd find some sort of dark corner, go there by myself. I would curl up and just, you know, because I'm really useless when it comes to anything.
You've got to have. I know. Rochelle busts your ass about this all the time.
Yeah.
But you got to have like some fundamental like caveman skill. Like you might have to dig deep, but I'm sure you have it.
I like breaking things. That's for certain. But I don't.
Breaking things is good.
Yeah, but how handy would that come in? Like, you know, what am I going to do? Break one rock against another and make sand? You know, keep on doing that, and I'll have the best fucking beach, and like, you know, in Caveman City.
Would you smooth a rock?
I would take time. I'm sure I could do that. I don't know what purpose a smooth rock would do, but hey, what can I say?
Well, here's my thing. Is like, you know, you and I went to art school.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about art school is like you get confronted with all these different skills,
yeah,
right, in your first and second years, right? So like 1 week you're a fucking sculptor, the next week you're stretching frames, you're stretching canvas on a frame.
You realize I never stretched any canvas on a frame.
Not at all, not once. I guess you were drawing, right?
I think I did once, I don't think, like any of the other sort of more physical art forms, I never really took much of a shining to. Like, you know, your glass blowing. I think I mentioned that, how I really kind of gave up on it. And then it's funny because both the instructor and myself kind of reached the consensus that I just simply wasn't cut out for it. And it wasn't anything malicious. It was just like, you know what? Some people are good at one thing and some people are bad at some things. And you just weren't born to be a glass blower, and that's a really shitty paperweight. All right.
Yeah, no, I had a similar experience. But how about the wood shop? Did you hang out in the wood shop at all?
No, I've never really been much of a wood shop kind of guy. That's the thing. Like, you know, I can use a hammer. I can use sort of basic things, but that's really about it. You know, I'm sure you know. Okay. Here's the contingency plan, right? Say this whole end of the world thing is happening, and you know, we have like, let's say 48 hours to sort our shit out before it really goes down, right? You know, we have a bit of a warning.
Okay, so we have 48 hours where, you know, our computers still work, everything's still cool, our phones still, everything still works for 48 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
First things first, here's what I do. I would say, okay, relatives and friends, this is where I'm going to be. I'd give them instructions to, you know, the cabin that Rochelle's uncle and aunt own. I say, assume that, you know, assume that any mechanical devices won't work, but this is where I'm going to be, and just ride it out. You know what? I wouldn't take anything with me, right? You know, I take, you know, necessities, but yeah, well.
Yeah, well, no, I thought about that too, because, you know, Mountain Man, for those of you who, don't know, Mountain Man is kind of the internet name for my dad, because he's a mountain guy.
Yeah.
But Mountain Man, he, you know, that area might be all right.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's pretty isolated, too. So if shit does go really wrong, then you're a little effed.
Then you're super fucked.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's in the news. Have you been following this, Joel?
No. Well, I generally know about it, but I could not give less of a shit. But let's talk about it anyway.
Well, then you're the perfect person to talk this out with.
Okay, cool.
Because I, on my agenda, I had a good 15-minute block where I said, Jill will be talking about this very in-depth, so.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I couldn't give a crap about whatever the fuck Muscle Man does.
Well, let me spin it to you another way that, you know, maybe you can provide a bit of insight on. Because the story is this, I'll keep it short. You know, obviously, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver, got separated or divorced in January, within the last month. And now it's come to light that the reasons for that divorce was because he had fathered a child 10 plus years ago with one of the maids that cleans his house, and obviously not cool, right?
Well, I guess,
but the interesting thing about this is how does one continue to live, like, you know, a public life and have this thing sort of happen 10 years ago? Obviously that's a big thing to sit on for 10 years. And
well, I mean, okay, for starters, I mean, I think legend had it was, Schwarzenegger was like a renowned womanizer in general, right?
Oh yeah.
Did you ever see that? I think you could see it on YouTube, but it's him doing a tour of Brazil, and it's like he's watching like showgirls and stuff. He's just like a dirty, nasty man in it, and that's, like, he's got to be in his, like, mid-20s at that point.
I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. My first taste of carnival came at the nightclub Oba Oba. Adriana promised me it would help me understand the carnival triple threat. The bunda, the mulata, and the samba.
Cheers. Sierra? Sierra? How do you say?
Sauchi.
Sauchi, okay, Sauchi. Yeah, power?
Health,
okay. Saúde.
To Brazilians, especially men, the mulatto is the symbol of everything sexy and erotic. During carnival, gorgeous mulatto bodies begin to move in ways that even a fitness expert like myself can't believe. One thing I do believe, it must be very healthy.
It's like the Brazilians think that the sexual part of the woman is the ass.
Right.
That's not how Americans think.
No, I agree with the Brazilian point of view, but I mean, go ahead. The Americans think it's the breast.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I agree with you. I knew I had something in common with the Brazilian man. I like that.
You know something? After watching the mulatto shake it, I can absolutely understand why Brazil is totally devoted to my favorite body part, the ass, especially during carnival. I wasn't sure if I was ready to dance the samba, but like everything else in Brazil, when you let it happen, you get into it very quickly. The longer I was in Rio, the more I wanted to learn a little bit of the Portuguese language. I think in Belly, I found a perfect teacher.
I like the Portuguese language because it's so romantic. It reminds me of the Italian language. Can you teach me a little bit about it? Some nice words like love and so.
Amor.
Amour. Love. I learned one word yesterday. Bunga.
Oh.
Bunga, it's good, huh? Bunga. Yeah, I like Bunga. Now, I teach you some English. Okay?
Biting.
Good. It's biting. Good. Then the next one is breathing again. And not biting, no. Like this. Good. Yes.
Before I go back to the United States, I would like you to teach me one more thing in Portuguese. How do you say goodbye?
Tudo de bom pra você.
Tudo de bom pra você, ó.
Pra você.
Pra você. Tudo de bom pra você.
Are you familiar with the term vajazzling?
No, please tell me more.
What rock do you live under, Joel Jackson?
I live, honestly, I come home and I hang out with my kid.
Yeah.
And occasionally I absorb some of this bullshit from Twitter, but, yeah, no, I don't know what this is. Please,
all right.
Tell me more.
Well, since you asked. Anyways, what, vajazzling is, it's basically adding decorative crystals to the, general area of the vagina, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
It's like, you bedazzle your pussy, right?
Pussy bling. Yeah. Everybody knows. Yeah.
All right. So you're on the up and up now, right?
Oh, yeah. No. I do it myself, so...
Well, you can now, because as the popularity of vajazzling has grown, it's become clear that it's not only women interested in the service. According to salon owners, 40% of customers requesting the body bling are men, all right?
Okay.
As a result, vajazzleme.co.uk has responded by designing a range of stick-on crystals just for men called P-jazzles, all right?
Yeah.
Women don't necessarily want a rough and ready man. Some prefer a man who's groomed and takes care of himself. It's advised users shave the hair before applying the crystals, or for the very
naturally,
exactly, or for the very hairy, a judicious waxing or laser session could be necessary. For those feeling understandably reticent, not only the nether regions can be decorated with crystals. They can be worn on the side of the abdomen, arms, chest, or back. Why? Why are people doing this, Joel?
I'll tell you why, Eric. It's because rapture is actually happening. Because obviously, humankind, it's done. We're done.
This is the first sign. This is it.
This is the first sign.
I read this story today and maybe he's on to something. Maybe I shouldn't be making plans for Sunday. Maybe I should just be eating a lot of pizza and ice cream on Saturday during the day. Because
I completely agree. Because you know what? You can't get much lower than this. This is this is pretty bad. But
okay. Imagine that you're a woman, right? And you're on the prowl for a nice looking dude. A stud, if you will.
Sure.
And, you know, you meet this dude and think you're hitting it off on the bar, and you go back to your place or his place or whatever. Things are getting hot and heavy. Off come the pants. You see, on his lower abdomen, a crystalline design that looks like a pair of lips right above his shit.
Well, for starters, I would question his sexuality.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm just going to say it right there. If you're going to bejewel your fucking junk, you've got maybe some other issues.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be most of it. I would probably assume you were a closeted gay man.
Cause there's something to be said for being well groomed everywhere. And there's something to be said, but that seems to be a step further, which I don't think I don't know who are these 40% of men that say,
40% of men asked, right? So, I'm actually going with homosexuals. That is my guess.
I don't know. I think there's a 40%? Direct. I think if you take a graph showing the percentage or the demographics of people who would want this procedure done or this thing done, and then you take the same graph of men who wear Ed Hardy and Tap Out shirts, I think you'd see a direct correlation between the two.
You know what? I'm just going to put it out there right now, but I think Ultimate Fighting is the gayest thing on the planet. So, you know.
I can't argue with you there, really.
Yeah, no, there it is. So it's out there for the world. We'll see what happens.
Info at tiptaptip.com. Attention, Joel, if you want to send any. Well, you know who
or just come fucking punch me in the face and then hump me for an hour.
Exactly. I'm down. Fucking get off me, you piece of shit.
Oh, hi, JSP. Okay.
Yeah. You win. 1, 2, 3. Fuck. Get off my body, you piece of shit.
Yep.
So it's funny. I was listening to a Vinyl Countdown the other day, and I just happened to turn on. The first thing I hear is my stupid fucking voice.
No, that was great.
Fantastic. I didn't recall doing that until I heard
that. That's the beauty of the Vinyl Countdown. So let me see when you're drunk.
So let me catch everybody up. Joel was in town a couple weekends ago, and big birthday bash. Joel decides, hey, it's my birthday. I'm gonna go out and get drunk with my friends because that's fucking awesome. And, you know, who might have turned an offer like that down? Mm-hmm. So I meet Joel at the Ship and Anchor, which is a pub in Calgary. At around 5:30 or so, and then I think by the time that recording happened, I was about 2 or 3 beers, pints deep.
Oh man, we were definitely a few in, because I think you were the first or second to arrive to the thing.
I was probably the second, no, because yeah, the first was
Cody. Yeah, I
think, yeah, exactly.
But, but yeah, so yeah, no, that I have not been drunk like that in a long time.
Really? Because I already had assumed that whenever you went out with the Vinyl Countdown gang, that's basically what happened. But maybe that's not.
Yeah, but we get really drunk and I get really slurry, but it's nothing compared to how I drink in your city.
An Alberta thing, or is it?
It is such an Alberta thing. Huh. It's funny because Torontonians don't drink as hard. They drink a lot, but they drink like beer, and
they spread it out over the week.
Exactly, but Calgarians fucking drink. Like they drink like alcohol is going out of style tomorrow.
Actually, Joel's just in the process of making fucking order from chaos. That was the recording that he had all night. He had a little portable recorder that he was carrying around, and well, good luck. It is a mess. It's probably a clusterfuck.
It is the most. but what's hilarious is I kept the recorder on all night. So when we got into the cab, when you saw us leave, yeah. And we were. Like you were drunk as fuck. I was drunk as fuck. Everybody was like,
yeah.
I kept recording.
Oh, really?
So it just, I have.
So you have the entire narrative.
I have the entire narrative.
Fuck.
Well, in chunks, right? But I do have it. And then I'm also actually mining some of a couple of tip tap tip shows ago. When you were kind of hungover and explaining the events of the night, I'm mining a bit of that stuff too.
Yeah, of course.
So it's gonna be one of the weirdest Squidpod episodes ever, but it should be good.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm actually also looking forward to the episode of XO that's coming out as well too. Apparently.
Me too. I'm really excited. Yesterday when I was hanging out with Keith, Keith McNally, of course. For your listeners who might not know him. He's another podcast giant, I'm being honored with being on a show, which I'm really excited about. But he offered to show me the rough cut, and I refused because I just want to see
the finished product, right?
And I don't want to influence them either. That's the other thing is like, you know, like when a thing's unfinished, you can go, well, can you tweak this or do that? But when it's done, there's nothing you can fucking do about it.
Did, actually, one thing I have to ask you is, did you have any influence over the musical selections that's going to be used?
I did, which is, he actually said, oh, yeah, send me some stuff that you were listening to around the time of the story I told, and then also, you know, or just stuff you like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sent him 100 songs.
Should be able to work with that, I'm sure. But
then what's also cool, though, is... Now, I'm not 100% on this because he might change his mind because I know it's a buttload of work. But he was going to do two cuts.
Mm-hmm.
One version that was my music.
Yeah.
And one version that was his music.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, no, it'll be interesting. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
It's funny because this is probably the... Now that I think of it, it's probably like one of the quietest actual conversations that we had in a while. And funny because you were actually just here a couple of weeks ago, but
we could barely talk. Yeah, but that's how you know what, and that's unfortunate because every time I'm in Calgary, that's sort of how it goes. It's just like it's such a gong show, and there's so many people to see that I don't really spend quality time with anybody.
No, it's the same thing. Like you know, for Christmas, whenever I'm going up to Edmonton, right? So
yeah,
it's the way it goes, right? So it's not.
Yeah, well, it sucks, but, you know, but at the same point, it's also awesome.
Yeah, because everybody's wanting to see you, and you're like, all right, I get to see everybody.
Yeah, it's sort of like its own little Christmas every time you go to, you know, to your hometown, so.
Chuck E. Cheese is sued for tot slots. No, not what you think, you sick fuck.
Okay. No. I was thinking actually, like nickel slots, like.
Actually, you're on the right track.
Okay.
Anyways, a San Diego woman has sued the company that owns Chuck E. Cheese's family restaurant chain, claiming that many of the games intended for children at these locations are actually illegal gambling devices, like slot machines. Denise Keller, a local real estate agent and mother of two daughters, ages 3 and 5, filed the potential class action suit on March 29th. She's asking for jury trial and damages and restitution to the tune of $5 million.
Okay, if anybody didn't know that Chuck E. Cheese was gambling, what the fuck? You remember Chuck E. Cheese, right? All you were trying to do was get those tickets to buy whatever bullshit.
Whatever the stupid plastic bullshit prizes, right?
Right. And if you saved up enough of them, then you could, you know, they baited you with the idea that you could buy a Nintendo with it, but you couldn't.
Yeah, you'd have to save up like 100,000 of these fucking tickets, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, the actual cost of that Nintendo would be like probably $7,000, you know?
Yeah, if you're counting in tickets. According to the complaint, many of the games in these rooms are operated by inserting tokens, which can be purchased for 25 cents each. When the games are finished, they dispense tickets. That can be redeemed for prizes. Calls to CEC Entertainment, so that's the manufacturer of these games. CEC Entertainment's attorneys were not immediately returned. They've argued in court documents that the games are not illegal under state law. They note that even if the arcade games were illegal, then the woman is an admitted participant in the illegal gambling. Therefore, she should not be barred from seeking any damages or restitution. So,
yeah, and once again, it's just, like, seriously, like, if you... Chuck E. Cheese has been around for, what, 30 years? Maybe more?
Probably about that, yeah, because I remember when I went there as a kid, and... I don't know.
So only now we're going, oh, it's gambling? Like, come on. Actually, it's funny because in Japan, that's essentially how gambling works.
How so?
Well, because they outlawed gambling.
Okay.
Right? But they didn't outlaw gambling.
There's, like, workarounds, right?
Well, it's... Because it's so letter to the law, like Japanese rules.
Yeah.
that basically they have these pachinko machines, and when you win, it you know, it shoots out like a bunch of plastic toys. You know? And you, so you're like, great, why are all these people playing pachinko? But then they take it to a shop that's essentially across the street from the pachinko parlor, and then trade it for money.
Oh, okay.
So it's this dumb workaround that has made it legal.
Yeah, they've created this middleman, which essentially...
Exactly.
Yeah. And this is what you noticed this when you're in Japan a couple of years ago?
Well, yeah, actually, Mason actually pointed it out to me and explained the whole thing, so...
Because he knew the whole process, right?
Yeah, because he had been watching it for the year, so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, how's life going?
Life's pretty good. I mean,
I'm surprised that you actually managed to get you on this show, because I actually asked you half an hour before we were supposed to go live, and I'm like, well, let's see if Joel's going to do this.
Well, it's funny because, like, these days, I mean, really, with a 6-month-old, it's when you do like little things like this, you are literally stealing time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it took, and I'm going to be fair, to Jen, it took Jen, almost 4 hours to put him to bed tonight.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I kind of looked annoyed and sort of tried to help, but really it was all her who got him asleep in the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's just sort of how it goes. I mean, it's weird because my life is so different.
Yeah.
And yet, so the same now.
Yeah, because, you know, you still get out, you still do things, you haven't changed, you know, you're still Joel, but...
But it's weird, because it's, you know, like, I get out one day a week, and then Jen and I do stuff together on the weekends, usually.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, but, I mean... You know, I know that maybe sounds really crappy, but it's not.
No.
It's really awesome.
No, I've seen Jet, and he seems pretty fucking awesome to be around. So that's.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool kid, man.
He's at the age where he just does things, and you're like,
You're like, neat. Yeah. Today he made farting noises for 2 hours, and that totally entertained me.
Both amused him and you. You're like, all right.
That's amazing.
It's like, why didn't I ever think of that? Just sort of sitting around in my underwear farting and laughing. Fuck, you're onto something, buddy.
No, the kid's a genius.
Exactly. Yeah, so maybe sitting around and doing all that.
No, he's just, I mean, and it's funny because it's like, you know, it's all of a sudden one day, you know, he's really like robotic and sloppy with his hands. And then the next morning,
he'll get it.
Something just clicked, you know, and now he can pick up things. And, you know, like, yeah, so I don't know. Having a kid's it's pretty wild. I highly recommend it. I don't know about having two kids, but definitely have the one. It's a good time.
I'll have to order away for one. And, I'll get the kit and I'll see how well I can put that thing together.
I'm going to let you in on something right now.
All right.
Okay. You can make one.
What do you mean make one? What are you talking about?
Okay. Let's say hypothetically. Right. Okay. You know, like we were talking about the bejeweled thing earlier.
Yeah. The thing. Yeah.
Okay. So let's say you have a bejeweled pussy, and it doesn't necessarily have to be bejeweled.
All right.
And you have a bejeweled penis, which also doesn't necessarily have to be bejeweled.
All right.
Are you with me so far? Okay.
Yeah.
So, if you put slot A into a tab B, without protection, you too can make one. That's how I made mine.
I think I see what you're saying, Joel. It's kind of like when you're when I was putting together that Robotech model, and then I got a lot of extra glue on the tab, and I tried to put the tab into the slot,
Mm-hmm.
All right, see where
what happened? The plastic started to bubble a little.
Exactly.
If you had more glue, it would turn into another a Robotech model. That's the worst metaphor ever, but yeah.
It's an analogy that I can understand. That's so. Actually, speaking of Robotech, I don't know if you have Netflix.
Mm. I do have Netflix.
But they have all the original Robotech series on there.
I know. You know what pisses me off about that?
What's that?
Is I have been scouring pawn shops buying the DVDs.
Oh, fuck.
But there is a difference, though.
There is.
Yeah, there is. Robotech is not the same thing as Macross.
Really? I thought they were one and the same.
No. They're the same show.
I like this because this is a conversation that I could never get away with on the show with Rochelle. But not saying that Rochelle's a bad host. I'm just saying.
Well, no, she's just not a nerd.
She keeps me in check.
Yeah, yeah. Like you and I are nerds, so yeah. that's why shit like this like makes us happy. But yeah. So Robotech was the North American adaptation of, and what they did is they crunched two shows together.
Mm-hmm.
By the same studio, but one's called Southern Cross, and yeah. The other's Macross.
Yeah.
So, Robotech is actually, it's written slightly different, it's dubbed slightly different, the plot line is slightly different.
Like, did they just edit things together, or what?
Yeah, they just trimmed out a lot of stuff that, and, like, it was a pretty dark show in general. Like, Robotech was fucking dark.
Yeah.
But Macross was even darker in bits. So yeah. Anyway, I've been trying to collect the Macross series, and it's been a...
It's an ongoing journey?
Well, I need, I think, 3 discs of the box set, and then I'm done.
So the one that's on Netflix is just Robotech, which is kind of like the...
Right. Which is, you know, in its own right, it's like, whatever.
That's it's what I remember.
Up with. Yeah.
Yeah, it's what I remember watching. I remember watching that when I was in grade 6. It used to come on, I think, immediately after the Buckshot Show, which was this kind of kids show in Calgary, which was on for a billion years, I guess. But I remember that came on, and we're like, oh.
Yeah, because it was a big deal. Like, they started making toys from it, and it was like, yeah, Robotech was a big push for a little while.
Actually, speaking of Robotech, the one childhood toy that I would like to get again that I did have, but I thought was fucking awesome, and I still think it's awesome, was the Transformers Jetfire toy. Because it was essentially was like
Skyfire.
Or whatever, right? It was essentially like a Robotech ripoff, right?
Oh, no, wait. Was Skyfire his name on the cartoon?
I think that's the name on the cartoon.
That's right, because Jetfire was it was like a
ripoff of...
A total ripoff. I used to have Jetfire, actually.
I did too, yeah.
And do you remember a friend of ours? We won't even say his name, but he actually had the Macross version of it with the skull and crossbones and all of that.
It was a toy? Like, same size?
Yeah, it was a toy. It was the exact same size as Jetfire with all the bits.
But it's the Macra.
Yeah.
I would prefer that, personally. Fuck.
Oh,
that.
No kidding. I think you can, honestly, check eBay, because I've seen them.
Okay, I'll have to make a note of that. After Arnold Schwarzenegger Brazilian video and Macross toy, because that's one thing the thing I liked about that particular toy is just because it's bendable and like every joint moved, mm-hmm. everything moved, and you could kind of do all sorts of shit with it. It's like, it's awesome. But that's one.
Yeah, and actually that's sort of my dark secret, is I still occasionally, once every couple of years, I go on eBay and I buy a vintage Macross model kit and I build it.
That's cool. So what do you? Yeah. So what's behind you right now? Like, I'm seeing, if I'm looking behind you on the camera, I see some sort of green thing. Is that just
this thing?
No, up above on that top bookshelf, that thing. What is that?
This is actually the baby's room. So those are unfortunately really boring, but they're all baby blankets.
Oh, okay. It looked like a jet from where I'm sitting.
Really? Here.
Yeah. But also, keep in mind, I'm also looking at a blurry Skype camera, so.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. No, yeah, there's nothing really that exciting in this room. This is all, like, this is essentially our storage room now.
Okay, storage slash,
Well, it's going to be, like, a functioning baby room once we move him out of our room.
Mm.
And so far, neither of us want to do that, so, yeah.
So, you own a PS3, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And how have you been affected by the hacking?
I have no idea. I'll let you know once my credit card is maxed out. And, okay.
But you haven't been able to access, like, the PlayStation Network or anything like that?
No, but apparently the nice thing is that when I do get to access it, they're giving everybody 2 free games.
Ah, like...
As a sort of, like, welcome back, sorry we let Somali pirates steal all your secrets.
Yeah, they got hacked again today.
Whoops. Today?
Yeah, today.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah, you know, if just give up. Sony, just going, okay.
Sony, I want 3 games now. Every time you get hacked, I want an extra game.
Exactly. My information's out there. Give me another fucking game. We'll call it Square.
Well, what pisses me off is I was playing the Back to the Future series.
Oh, is that good?
Oh, yeah, it's great. But I you know, just finished the first game, and the rest of them are just waiting on the PlayStation Store for download, but
yeah.
Nothing I can do about it.
Oh, well.
So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It sucks now, because it's like, everything's online, your information is online, nobody has a brain capable of remembering 40 different passwords.
No.
So, what are you going to do? You know?
You're gonna unplug, you're going to give it up, you're going to go, hey, Dad, do you have a spare room in that cabin of yours for me?
There you go. Oh, yeah, don't mind my friend. He'll be here in a loincloth with a club.
It's like, why is your friend in a loincloth with a club? I don't know. He just gets that way sometimes when he thinks it's going... you know, fucking... you know, last time I saw him do that, it just a light bulb went out of his apartment. He says, this is it! This is the big one! You know, next thing I know, he's out
looking... Rochelle, get my loincloth!
You know, and it's funny because he has them all in his closet, and they're all pressed!
And they're on hangers.
They're all hangers.
Which one, Eric?
Oh, that's my Tuesday loincloth.
Get me Thursday.
Get me Thursday.
Yep. Wow.
I'd be a classy caveman. You know what?
I think, you know what? You would be Fred Flintstone.
I would fashion a monocle out of clear glass. And I just wear that around. I somehow, I would fashion myself a leopard skin top hat.
See, somehow, if the apocalypse comes and there's no more computers, you will still be designing web pages somehow.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be doing it with bones and, you know, string, but it'll still, you'll be like, ooh.
You know, you click on the link, which is like a shell, and then it pulls a string. To like another guy down the beach, and he yells back the information.
See, you have a job in this apocalyptic future. You're fine.
It's good to know that given the circumstances, I could eke out a living. Yeah, because people need to know how to look up information like baking fire. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Pull the string, and then things would happen. Huh. What would your profession be in a post-apocalyptic Earth?
I'm really good with general, like basic engineering.
Yeah.
So, I think I would probably just fall back on construction.
Yeah.
But I could repair things like a motherfucker. So yeah.
Did you hear about the Eurovision party last weekend?
I did hear about it. I heard it was off the hook.
I think I'm the only one who actually gives a shit. No, well, I'm not.
Of course you're the only one who gives a shit. But it's still...
It's still a fun party.
Yeah, and it's such a weird little thing. And it's like... And you've got... Like, you kind of own that market. You know what I mean?
That's because... Well, it's easy to own something when no one else is buying it, right?
Well, yeah, but still, it's your thing, you know? So it's cool.
I don't know. It's fun. Like, but...
The one I liked was Smile. That was my pick. Just
that was the one that did not get in.
Yeah, the contest. But that was my pick.
That would have been my pick had it gotten to the contest, because that song's fucking awesome.
No, it's a great song.
Have you seen the video?
I haven't seen the video yet. I've actually been meaning to book a little time to go through a few of them, especially because Rochelle recommended one. I think it was the Swedish one that she said that the visuals reminded her of stuff I used to do.
Oh no, that was the Ireland one. Check that.
Oh,
out.
Was that Ireland? Okay.
Yeah, the Jedward song. That's yeah, because I totally see that. Just the way that because when they were performing live, they had this sort of large screen behind them, and then the visuals are very reminiscent of the stuff that you have done in the past. So.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
And, yeah. It totally is like, oh, that's Joel.
Cool. Yeah, no, so that, I'm gonna check the videos out, I just haven't had a chance, but yeah, like, it's funny, because, you know, thank God you guys do an audio podcast, because I ride my bike to work every day, so usually, you know, you're on my headphones.
Nice.
Riding my bike.
I guess it's... Nice enough weather to do that these days, but
yeah, no, it's pissing down rain today.
Ah, never mind.
Yeah,
you threw in a garbage bag where your head poked a hole for an eye.
Yep, pretty much. And I just just hope nobody kills me on the way.
Exactly. And if they do, you're already in a bag. They can just drag you away in that.
Exactly.
Just tie up the other end and throw me
like that. You know, like,
tie up the other end and throw me in the dumpster.
Yeah, no muss, no fuss.
It's like...
just move that corpse on.
Yeah.
Just make room for the next cyclist.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of trains,
what are you talking about, trains?
No, I was really hoping you would just have, like... Because sometimes you have this, like, sixth sense to do a segue.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if you had a train story in there.
I don't have any. I don't have anything. I think I'm just gonna, how about we just wrap this up and then.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Right. Anyways, thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter or Facebook. Links to both of those on our website, which is tiptaptip.com. You can go there. You do lots of things there. In addition to listening to our great show, you can subscribe to it. If you like our show, spread it by word of mouth. Word of mouth is not a communicable disease, but it's actually by you telling your friend, hey, this show's great, but not.
Hey, how about this? How about you walk around and you go, you know what? Have you heard Tip Tap Tip? Because if you don't, you're not fucking listening to the fucking top echelon of Canadian podcasting. And because there's maybe Tip Tap Tip, there's maybe Squid Pod, there's maybe Dicks and Janes, there's maybe the Vinyl Countdown. That's it. Like, that's the top. You're done after that. So, fuck. Whatever. If you're not listening to this show, you don't know shit about podcasting. Give up.
Here's what you do. You go, hey, do you listen to Tip Tap Tip? They say, well, no, I don't. You just kick them on the balls and walk away.
Also, that works as well. Yeah.
But here's the trick. This is what, on your feet, what you have carefully done in preparation for this event is that you've carved into the sole of your shoe in reverse, tiptaptip.com, so that when you kick the person in the balls, the reverse image, which when you do kick them is forwards, leaves the impression of our website on their sack.
Eric, next time I see you, I'm checking the soles of your shoes. That better be a real thing.
I'll do what I can. Anyways, thank you for listening. Thanks, Joel, for stepping in. And, been fun last hour.
So, yeah, and www.squidpaw.com or vinylcountdown.ca. That's me.
And if you don't know how to spell, I'll put links to both of those. All right, thanks for listening. Have a good night.
Peace.